Well, good morning once again. Let's open our Bibles to Lamentations. Lamentations is that small book between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And we'll do something just a little bit different this morning. I'm just going to read to you from a couple of portions of Lamentations. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and then a few verses in chapter 3. So why don't we stand? And I will read, you can follow along. How lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow she has become, she who was great among the nations. She who was a princess among the provinces has become a slave. She weeps bitterly in the night with tears on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into exile because of affliction and hard servitude. She dwells now among the nations, but finds no resting place. Her pursuers have all overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for none come to the festival. All her gates are desolate, her priests groan, her virgins have been afflicted. And she herself suffers bitterly. Her foes have become the head. Her enemies prosper because the Lord has afflicted her. For the multitude of her transgressions, her people have gone away captives before the foe. Verse 19 of chapter 3, remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers and is bowed down within me, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that even in the darkest hour, thank you that even in the midst of desolation, that there is hope because your steadfast love never ceases and your mercies never come to an end. Lord, may we understand afresh today that you are indeed a merciful God. Lord, may many receive your mercy today. And Lord, for some, teach us how to show mercy. Work in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Before you're seated, why don't you turn and greet one another just for a moment. So as Dave mentioned, tonight Pastor Chuck will be taking the study through Lamentations, and we're going to look at a few verses here this morning from the third chapter, the verses that we read here in the third chapter. Now, the background to these words that are written here, Lamentations is really dealing with the judgment and the destruction that has come upon Jerusalem because of their persistent disobedience to the word of God. So Jeremiah the prophet, he has, of course, prophesied all the way through the destruction of the city. And now that the city has been destroyed and the people have been led away captive, as Jeremiah roams the streets of the city, and as he walks among the rubble, and as he sees the smoldering fires, and he hears the weeping of the people, he is writing out this lamentation. Yet, even though The city has been destroyed, and the people led away captive. There's still a reason for hope. And that's what he says. And in this little portion that we looked just read in the third chapter here, this is kind of the bright spot of Lamentations. And it's that shaft of light that's coming through the darkness and the clouds. It's that that shaft of hope. And the hope is because of the steadfast love of the Lord, never ceasing, his mercies never coming to an end. So the picture that Lamentations paints of the destruction and desolation of Jerusalem is analogous to the destruction and desolation that sin brings upon a person's life. And this, of course, is the you know, consistently all through the scripture, we see this same thing being communicated and the kind of the same scenario just being repeated over and over again throughout human history. God creates and God blesses and God gives his word, and man revolts and rebels against the word of the Lord and finds himself in judgment, finds himself in misery, and cries out in his distress, and the Lord extends mercy. We see it all throughout the scripture. We see it with nations, and of course, it's the story of individual people as well. Maybe today, you find yourself in a similar state to the people of Israel at that time. Because of rebellion and disobedience to God's word, because of foolish decisions and bad choices, your life is an absolute disaster. You've brought grief and misery upon yourself. The question is there any hope for a better future? Is there any possibility of recovery or restoration? And the answer is, thankfully, yes. There is hope. And that's what the prophet says here. Jeremiah says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. What is he calling to mind? He's calling to mind the steadfast love of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord. Because of who God is, even in those kinds of situations where our lives have become desolate through our own sin, because of God's love and mercy, there is hope. There is the possibility of recovery and restoration. Listen to what the psalmist said. Psalm 107, verses 10 through 20. Those who sat in darkness in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And then the psalmist goes on to say, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his mercy to the children of men. And this is what we see. We see that this is the way of God. The way of God is to show mercy. He delights in doing so. It's his delight to show mercy. And so Jeremiah says, I have hope. I have hope because of the steadfast love of the Lord, that it never ceases. God's love for us is steadfast. It was Jeremiah who's speaking for the Lord back in the 31st chapter of his prophecy. He said these words, but remember, he's God's mouthpiece. He's speaking as the voice of God, and he says to the nation, he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. And he's talking about the drawing them back from the destruction that has come as a result of their sin. But nevertheless, God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. My love for you hasn't stopped. And so I'm drawing you with loving kindness. And later on in that chapter, the Lord says, behold, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel, because the first covenant they broke. They did not abide by the covenant, but I'm going to do a new thing with them. I'm going to make a new covenant. So here again, we see this, the steadfast love of the Lord. It's an everlasting love. And what was said about Israel and God's attitude toward them as a nation is likewise true of every one of us. He has loved us with an everlasting love. The steadfast love of the Lord toward us never ceases. But because God loves us, he corrects us. We are reminded in both Proverbs and the Epistle to the Hebrews that we are to not despise the chastening of the Lord, for whom the Lord loves, he does chasten. You see, God loves you so much. He loves me so much that when I disobey him, when I decide that I'm going to do things my way and not his way, he sends a chastisement my way because he loves me, because he loves you. He is a good father. You see, a parent who doesn't discipline or chasten their child is not a good parent. Scripture actually says that the parent who refuses to chasten or discipline their child really doesn't love their child. But God really does love us. And so he sends these chastisements our way, but it's always corrective. God doesn't punish just to punish. He doesn't punish just to get out his frustrations. God is not like us. You know, he doesn't just get sick of our attitudes or whatever and finally say, oh, I'm just going to punish you because I'm irritated by you. He doesn't do that. When God deals with us, when he chastens us or disciplines us, he does it always for the purpose of correction. He does it to correct us. He does it to put us back on the right track, to get us back into that place where we can experience his love and his blessing. And so when Jeremiah says the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, he's really talking about this never-ending love, this everlasting love that God has that is a correcting love, but it's also a restoring love. God is into restoration. He's always looking to restore. Of course, that's the whole ultimate purpose of redemption, is the restoration. God creates the world. It's a beautiful place. He creates man and woman. They live in harmony with him. It's a beautiful situation. And then sin comes in and ravages everything. But what does God do? He begins this redemptive process that will ultimately restore everything back to the way it should be. That's what's happening. That's where we're headed. The key point in the whole redemptive process, of course, was Jesus dying and providing atonement for our sin. But God's love is a restoring love. And through the prophet Hosea, God spoke, and he said this in chapter 14, verse 4, looking at Israel again, who, because of their own foolishness, their own sin, had brought misery upon themselves, God said, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. I will heal their backsliding. And so the message today is this, that even if you, like the person that we read about in the Psalms, fools because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, even if we have brought our own misery and grief upon ourselves because of rebellion, because of disobedience, because of foolishness, even though that is the case, God's heart is still one of love. His objective is correction and restoration. That's what we need to know. We need to understand that. We need to realize that God is a merciful God. And so Jeremiah says, his mercies never come to an end. His mercies never come to an end. His mercies can't come to an end. It's not possible that they could come to an end because his mercies are tied to his nature. Now, we are not by nature merciful as people. We can be merciful. Some people are completely merciless. But we can exercise discipline and we can force our will to go in the direction of showing mercy at times. But, you know, the natural inclination of man is not really to be merciful or not to be excessively merciful. But God's very nature is merciful. When the Lord revealed himself to Moses, Moses had asked God, he said, Lord, show me your glory. If I found favor in your eyes, Lord, show me your glory. And the Lord said, Moses, no man can see my glory and live, but I will put you in the cleft of the rock and I will pass by and you will see my glory that follows me. And so the Lord did that. And it says there that as the Lord passed by Moses, the Lord proclaimed the name of the Lord. And he said, the Lord, using the name Yahweh, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, full of compassion. This is God. This his name. Now, remember, the name of God is it's indicative of his character, of his nature. So what's right there at the very top of the list? The Lord, gracious, merciful, full of compassion. You see, the mercy of God is tied to his very nature. Psalm 103 tells us the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. See, this is who God is. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? This is God. God's merciful. He's not reluctant to show mercy. He's anxious to show mercy. He delights in showing mercy. He's looking for opportunities to show mercy. Now, we're talking a lot about mercy. What is mercy? What are we talking about? Well, there are many definitions that have been given, but I like this one the best. Mercy is pity or compassion with action that results in the alleviation of distress. That's what mercy is. Now, think about it. It's possible to have pity on somebody, but that's just kind of where it ends. It's even possible to have compassion towards somebody, and yet it doesn't go beyond that feeling in your own gut of, oh, I feel so bad for them. Those are good feelings, to have pity on somebody like that, or to have that kind of a compassionate emotion. That's a good thing. But it doesn't go far enough. You see, there needs to be some action to alleviate the situation that has evoked those kinds of emotions. That's what mercy is. Mercy is pity or compassion with action. This is what God does. He looks at us and he pities us. We're told again in Psalm 103, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. He remembers our frame. He knows that we're dust. He knows that we're frail, that we're weak. And he looks at us and he has pity. You know, just like we as parents, looking at our children, if they're suffering, they're going through a time of illness, or if they're, you know, maybe their feelings have been hurt, or, you know, something's happened. We know what it's like to look at our child and to just have such pity on them, or just such compassion for them. That's how the Father is. But then he's merciful, so he acts. He steps in to remedy the situation, to alleviate the distress. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about merciful. God looks upon us with compassion. We read about Jesus in the Gospels that he looked at the multitudes and it says that he was doubled over with compassion for them because he saw them as sheep not having a shepherd. But it didn't stop with that emotion. Then Jesus fed them. They were hungry. Jesus healed them. They were sick. Jesus spoke those words of life to them. You see, so there's the combination, the pity, the compassion, but then the action which led to our understanding of mercy. But here's what we're seeing about God. This is what the prophet is saying. His mercies never come to an end. Listen to this. They are new every morning. God's mercies are new every morning. And whatever you did last night or yesterday or last week or over the past 10 years or over the past 30 years, if you have come to the place of saying, oh God, forgive me. Oh God, have mercy. Guess what? The mercy is there. When you open your eyes in the morning, the mercy of the Lord is there to greet you. Do we realize that? Do we think like that? I don't think we do. I think quite often we think just the opposite. We think that the Lord is angry. He's full of wrath. He wants to judge me, and I understand that perfectly. He ought to judge me because I'm such a miserable sinner. It is true. We are miserable sinners. Make no mistake about it. But it's not true that God wants to judge us. His mercies are new every morning. But we don't think this way. But you see, this is why we have the Bible. This is why we have this revelation. We need a revelation of God. We need God to tell us about himself, who he is, because we would come to the wrong conclusions. We would think him other than merciful, but he is merciful. His mercies are new every morning. You know, I've had times in my life when as I've awakened in the morning, I felt like the devil was sitting at the end of my bed, pointing his finger at me, saying, oh, you miserable sinner. You deserve the wrath of God. You deserve the judgment of God. Well, you know, in a sense, that is true. I do deserve that. But that's mercy, not getting what I deserve. And God has mercy for us. But we need to grasp this. We need to realize it. We need to not listen to the voice of the enemy that says, God is finished with you. God is fed up with you. God's mercy toward you has run out. We need to stand on the Word of God that tells us that His mercies never come to an end. They can't come to an end because they're tied to Him, and God is eternal. And the eternal God is a merciful God, so His mercies are always going to be there. They're never going to run out. There's no exhausting them. There's no point when a person comes and casts themselves upon the mercy of God, and God says, no, I'm sorry, we are out of mercy. We no longer have a supply available of mercy. As long as you've got breath, as long as you can think to turn to the Lord, there's mercy that's available. His mercies, they never come to an end. They are new every morning. Now, there's two things that I think we need to realize here. Number one, we need to realize if we find ourselves in a place like Israel was, in a place of desolation, in a place of grief, in a place of misery and suffering because of our sin, we need to realize that God has mercy. And He's wanting to bestow that mercy upon us. And we need to embrace that and not listen to that condemning voice of the enemy, and lay hold of this great truth of God's mercy. But, you know, not everyone is necessarily in that exact position today. And some might say, well, this message doesn't really have much application to me because I'm doing fine and I'm not rebelling against the Lord and I'm following Him and He's blessing my life. And that is fantastic. But there is, I think, an application. We need to be dispensers of mercy as well. And in some cases, you need to receive mercy today. In other cases, some of you need to give mercy. And the Lord is wanting to remind you that He is merciful. And since this is the way He is, this is the way that He wants us to be. Because like I said earlier, and you know it's true, we have a tendency toward being merciless. Or we have a limit to our mercy. We have a point where we say, you know what? I've shown enough mercy, and that's all I'm going to show. It's over. It's the end. And then we withhold mercy. But His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. God wants us to lean on Him and call upon Him and trust Him to supply us with mercy, His mercy to give to people. In a lot of cases, people are going to be more apt to receive God's mercy if you're showing them mercy as God's child, representative, or servant, or whatever the case might be. If you're withholding mercy, it truly could kind of cloud their vision of the merciful God. So this is why Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This is why the New Testament tells us that mercy triumphs over judgment. That we are to be merciful to others. Because this is how God is. And this is how He has been toward each of us. Because all of us have experienced God's mercy. Of course, initially in coming to faith in Christ, that was the mercy of God that led us there. But how many times have we experienced God's mercy over and over again in our lives? I know that I have experienced much mercy from the Lord. So I want to be merciful. But I struggle sometimes. Something in me says, no, you've been merciful enough. They need now that iron rod laid upon them. And you know, honestly, I used to be more inclined to lay the rod on people. But I don't know. I guess maybe, you know, living longer and realizing my own need for mercy, it's just helped me to become more merciful. But this is the heart of God. And so Jeremiah says, in thinking of all these things, great is your faithfulness. God is faithful. And in the midst of the misery and in the midst of the desolation, Jeremiah says, this is what I hope in. I hope in the mercy of the Lord. This is why I can still have confidence that everything will turn around, that things will get better, that there can be a bright future. There can be because of the mercy of the Lord and because the Lord is faithful. He's faithful to himself. He's faithful to correct. He's faithful to forgive. He's faithful to heal. Do you know that today? God is faithful to forgive. Have you cried out to him for forgiveness? As maybe you're sitting there in just that pool of despair because of the things that you've brought upon yourself. Do you know that as you've cried out for forgiveness, that God has forgiven you? Have you accepted that? Have you received it? God is faithful. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. You say, well, I confess, but I don't know. I just don't feel like God could forgive me. So what? He did. If you were sincere in your confession. Don't let how you feel or don't feel determine what reality is. You see, this is how the enemy trips us up. We don't feel. Well, I don't feel forgiven. But you are if you've confessed your sin, because he's faithful and just to forgive you. See, if you've confessed your sin to God, if you have said, Lord, I have sinned. If you've done that, God says he's forgiven it. And he's faithful to do it. But listen, he's not only faithful, says he's just. And here's the other side of that. If you honestly confessed your sin and God didn't forgive your sin, that would be an injustice because your sin was paid for by Jesus. So God has put himself under a legal obligation to forgive you because of what Christ did. And so if you confessed your sin and God didn't forgive your sin, it would be an injustice. God is not unjust. He's righteous. And that's why John says, not only is he faithful to forgive our sin, but he's just to forgive our sin. God has forgiven you. But you say, okay, well, I'll try to accept that, but I can't imagine that anything could ever be restored. I can't imagine that I could be healed or that I could serve the Lord in the future or expect any kind of blessing down the road. I've probably forever messed that up. No, you haven't. I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely, God said. You know what the Lord does when he brings us back from those backslidings, when we turn to him? You know, he brings us in and he just says, all right, here we are. Let's go. Let's get a fresh start. I was talking to a friend the other night and he was telling me about a backslidden season that he had gone through. And it was amazing as I was listening to his story because as he was telling me the dealings of the Spirit with him while he's in this backslidden place, I'm thinking of my own dealings with my own child who was some time ago in a backslidden place. And as he's sharing with me the things that God was speaking to his heart and the grace and the mercy that God was showing him, I was thinking, wow, that just reminds me so much of what I was doing with my own child. And of course, I'm not more merciful or gracious or loving than God. But as he was telling me this, and you know, but the one thing that he was saying to me was, you know, I thank God I'm back, and you know, but God can't do anything with me in the future. I've forfeited all of that. I've just blown it to the point where, you know, I can't expect restoration, or I can't expect that God would actually use me. Well, if his forgiveness was a partial forgiveness, that would probably be true. If his mercy was a limited mercy, that would probably be true. But his forgiveness is full. His mercy is full. And you see, when God forgives, he heals, he restores, and he can bless us in the future. He can bless us in the future. So know that today. You might have just messed everything up. Your life might truly be a disaster because of bad choices, wrong decisions, because of sin. But if you've asked for forgiveness truly, if you've turned away from that and back to the Lord in your heart, you know what? God can do wonderful things. And you can have hope. There was no more pitiful a sight than the destruction of Jerusalem. And as Jeremiah walked through those rubbles, or the rubble of that city, of course, there would have been many that would have thought, never again will this city rise. Never again could there be a blessing upon this place. But there was, and there will be. And the same is true in your own life. There will be, because God is faithful. Great is your faithfulness to correct us, to forgive us, to heal us, and ultimately to bless us. Have you sinned? Have you made a mess of things? Is your life in shambles? Do you want to be forgiven? Do you want to be restored? Well, come to Jesus, the fountain of mercy, the place where God's mercy is dispensed. And as you come to Christ, you will find that there is a river of mercy flowing from him, ready to receive you back, ready to forgive you, ready to restore you. And then for those that have been struggling with showing mercy, remember this, God has shown mercy to you. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain more mercy. God has shown me a lot of mercy, and I'm going to need a lot more in the future. So I want to be a dispenser of mercy. If you're struggling yourself with showing mercy, just take a little bit of time and think about the mercy that God's shown you. And then ask him to give you the grace to be merciful in that situation. It's all in Jesus. He is that dispenser of mercy. God's mercy comes to us through him. And he says to us, he says, come to me if you're burdened down, if you're weighed down, if your sins have overcome you, if life has come down hard upon you, come to me and I'll give you rest. And that's what he does. As he shows us mercy, he gives us rest. Remember this, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness, and how thankful we are for that. Lord, we are thankful that you are merciful and gracious, slow to anger, full of compassion. How we rejoice today that that is true. And Lord, I would just pray today for those that need to have that experience of your mercy washing over them and liberating them from guilt and condemnation and paralyzation. Lord, would you just pour out an abundance of mercy upon them today? Thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new this morning. That whatever happened yesterday or last week or any time in the past can be washed away in the mercy, in the grace that you've given us through the blood of Jesus. Lord, help those that need it to receive it today. And Lord, for those that need to give mercy, to show mercy, Lord, help us not to withhold mercy. Help us to remember the mercy that's been shown to us. Help us to draw upon you, that we might be like you, being merciful to others. Lord, for those that are here today that have never received that initial mercy through receiving Christ, may their hearts be open to him. May they call out to him for that mercy that brings salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.